Welcome to GleeCast, the somewhat occasionally weekly home of Glee and casting. Here are your hosts, Emily and Erica.
Well, hello.
Well, hello. Good afternoon on good. This fine Sunday that we are recording.
On Sunday, though, I feel like morning extends at least till 1 o'clock.
It does. It's 12:45, so we're cutting it close.
But we're still in there because, I mean, you have like, we have this one brunch place in our neighborhood. They don't start serving brunch until noon.
Oh.
You know, so it's kind of like, well, if you're going to start at noon and like brunch, it's not like you're having afternoon. So it's still, you know, so I think my rule about Sundays is that it's morning until 1 p.m.
All right.
Yeah. I think the a.m. one extra hour for that. So that's my theory. Oh, but we're happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving. Belated Thanksgiving. Happy belated Thursday to everyone else.
What is it if Friday is Black Friday and Monday is like Cyber Deals Monday?
Monday.
What's Sunday?
I don't know, but Saturday is also Small Business Saturday.
Right. So where does that leave Sunday?
I'm not sure.
Sunday is GleeCast Sunday.
It's GleeCast Sunday.
Indeed. Well, I hope, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. It was very good. Very quiet. We watched The Amazing Spider-Man, which I enjoyed.
What? Okay. I was asking if you enjoyed it.
Oh, I did. I enjoyed it. I like that Andrew Garfield. I sound like a 40-year-old woman. I like that. Garfield. I like that Andrew Garfield. Maybe not 40. I meant more like 60. It was more old lady-ish.
Gotcha.
40.
I like him a lot. I've seen him in everything I've seen. I haven't seen The Amazing Spider-Man. I have no desire to. But I thought he was fantastic and never let me go. So and he's very good in The Social Network. I think he's got a nice little future ahead of him, that kid.
And Emma Stone too, who I love regardless of what she does. So
that's
good. How was yours? You got drunk?
You know, not that much. I mean, I had a steady stream of wine all day, but I don't recall being drunk at any point. I would not call it quiet just because my family
is loud.
Well, that's the thing is, I mean, you listeners, you know me and you know, I'm not a quiet person. Now multiply me by, or add five more of me. We had my sister did all the cooking. I just brought the booze and then we played what apparently was the most epic game of Scattergories. Here's the thing about it. Have you played Scattergories with me? I don't think you have.
I don't know, but I've heard stories.
You've heard stories. I have been dubbed the Scattergories Nazi. When I was about 8 years old, I won a ribbon at camp for playing Scattergories. I get intense when I play Scattergories. Well, let me tell you, I played Scattergories with 4 or 5 members of my family, and I was the calmest one.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it was intense. Like, it took us, like, about an hour to get through the first round with, like, every single question there was votes on. Because everybody, it just got very intense. But, you know, I won, so it's okay in the end.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I had no doubts about that. But, yeah, as I cough up a hairball, I guess, from cats. But, yeah, I can't complain about Thanksgiving. It's now almost not Thanksgiving, and work is looming, which is not fun. But other than that, my only big beef, you want to know my beef about Thanksgiving is?
Sure.
Why the fuck would there be a new episode of Glee aired on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I don't know. It screwed us up, man.
Oh, see, because last week, if you heard the podcast, everybody heard us say, okay, so yeah, well, we're off next week. So we'll get to the next episode at some point, probably a little later. And it's funny because when I went back and watched the episode of this one, the one we're going to talk about today, Glee's, I noticed at the end, instead of saying, like, on the next episode, they said next week on Glee. And I thought, oh, that's weird. I guess maybe they just made a mistake. Because no TV show airs a new episode on Thanksgiving, except for Glee did. And apparently it was even more stupid because the X Factor, I guess, ran like a half hour overtime.
Yeah, I haven't even checked mine yet. But I have right now I have a subscription to Hulu Plus. I haven't watched the new episode yet, which I guess bodes well for this episode.
I haven't either.
I don't like knowing what happens next week and then recording. I think it screws it up.
It's going to taint the way we talk about this episode if we know where
what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't watched it yet either because I did. I always record extra time, but I think I record for Glee. I used to do a half hour because back when American Idol aired before it, that would happen sometimes. But now I record. I guess I thought I did a half hour, but I did 15 minutes, which based on what people have said is not going to be enough time.
Yeah.
So, and the worst thing to me is like having to go on demand and watch, because you can't fast forward.
Can't fast forward.
I have to rewatch the whole thing that way. It's gonna be a bitch. So I'm just gonna wait and watch it that way at some point this week before we record.
Well,
I'll probably
only
watch it once.
If you want to, I mean, on Hulu they're much shorter commercials. So if you want to, the password for the Hulu Plus account, you can watch it that way because it's not available on Hulu until a week after. It's only available right away on Hulu Plus.
Oh, fancy! Yes, I may take you up on that then.
Yeah.
So that was incredibly frustrating and stupid. Reports have been that ratings were terrible because obviously they were. Nobody is watching more so than Christmas, even, because at least Christmas you have a lot of Jewish people and people who aren't celebrating Christmas. But with Thanksgiving, like, you know, it's one thing I love about Thanksgiving is I don't have to like think about what to say to somebody. I can say Happy Thanksgiving to every single person I'm going to talk to that day, because if you live in the United States, you're going to celebrate or be part of Thanksgiving. Whether you cook a turkey or not, it is your holiday as much as anybody else's. And especially Glee, whose target audience presumably is like 15-year-olds, all those 15-year-olds are at grandma's house eating their turkey.
Yep.
They're not home watching Glee or remembering to DVR and add 30 extra minutes because of the X Factor. It just, I mean, people watch football on Thanksgiving. They do not watch, you know, no matter if there had been a new episode of The Office, people wouldn't watch it. People don't watch TV on Thanksgiving like that. And it was just a stupid, stupid decision. And I mean, I don't know anything about the episode. Reports have been that it was actually a decent episode, which is even more of a shame. But anyway, I'm over it, slowly but surely. Did you have any other TV things to address?
TV things to address. What's I'm caught up on American Horror Story.
Yeah, this week's I thought was kind of a letdown after the week before, which was so good.
See, I think I like this week a little bit better than last week.
I like the Anne Frank
stuff. I don't know. The Anne Frank stuff was good. I did like that. I don't know. I don't know. It's the alien stuff that's throwing me off. Because it's just frustrating me that it's still, like, happening there. You know, I don't know. It's just weird.
All right. Something in your microwave is done, it sounds like.
Oh, I got a new camera this morning. I just turned it on to make sure that it worked. Because the box seemed like, I think they just don't seal camera boxes, though, because they're behind lock and key. I'm trying to remember of all the cameras I've gotten in the past, whether or not they've been, like, physically sealed or not. And I want to say they haven't been, because I was just like, I just opened this box. But then I was thinking about it, because it was the last one in the store, and I was thinking about it, and there's no plastic stuck to the camera. So I'm kind of curious if it was like opened and returned. So I wanted to put batteries in it while we were talking so that I could just make sure it turned on and worked, which it did. So that's what was beeping.
Excellent.
But now I've put it back into its case and put it away so that I'm not distracted.
Stop touching things that sparkle. That's right.
Yeah.
All right, so do you have anything else to say, or should we just get right into the episode?
I guess we just get into the episode.
Okay.
Full disclosure, I only watched this episode once.
Okay. I started watching it last, I think, Thursday night. And I had to stop it at some point just because I was really tired and I didn't start it until late. But when I'd stopped it, I was like, oh, God. And then I finished it and I was like, wow, I'll spoil for me. I think the last 15 minutes, I don't know that they redeemed the episode, but the last 15 minutes were grade letters better than the first 45 minutes, in my opinion.
And see, I kept waiting for it to get better because I was like, oh, this is awful. Like, oh, I hope when they perform the show, it gets a lot better. And it never did for me.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that because I think I know exactly why. I don't know if you have the same reason. But so this one was written by Roberto Aguirre de Sacasa, who I think has written a couple of Glee episodes and also worked on other Ryan Murphy stuff, and directed by Michael Uppendahl, who has done some Glee, directed a lot of American Horror Story, and some really good Mad Men episodes. Okay, the Glee cap goes. As McKinley High mounts its production of Grease, Kitty fires up her reign of boredom/terror in trying to drive Marley to bulimia, a plan that falls through thanks to Cool Rider support. Meanwhile, back in Bushwick, Rachel and Kurt decide to take Cassandra July up on her freaking Flyer Miles giveaway to watch their friends perform. Even though Kurt isn't really ready to confront Blaine, Rachel has nothing to say to Finn, and Cassandra July is really just using the weekend as a chance to bang Brody. Also happening, Wade's parents forbid him to dress like a girl on school grounds. Santana comes home to take over the part of Rizzo and exchange some maybe flirtations with Brittany. Will heads off to the Blue Ribbon panel, leaving Finn in charge of New Directions. And Tina and Mike have a stupid conversation that makes no sense in context to the past. Blaine sparkled in a blue sweater. Kitty tortures Marley because she lets her. And I'll concede that Kate Hudson's abs have never looked better. And that's what you missed on
Glee. Bling. We always miss it. I always go first.
I feel like we got it that time.
No, yeah. I always say it first, and then you say it.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm just, like, waiting for the cue. All right, so who you want to start with? You want to get the kids out of the way first?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so Kitty is sewing in Marley's costume so that Marley thinks she's gaining weight.
Where all she has to do is step on a scale.
Or try on, like, her own pants at home.
Yeah.
To figure out, or maybe think, oh, maybe I'm bloated because I, you know, that happens to women. But no, because Marley has to be as innocent can be. She thinks none of these things.
She's just an idiot. I don't even want to talk about this.
Well, cause... I think that's the thing, is that Wayne made a really good point, which is Marley is too good a victim for Kitty that she doesn't deserve Marley because they're both awful. And yet, ugh, you know, the only thing I liked about this story is, I'm just going to say, I like Cool Rider.
I don't have a problem with him. I honestly can't remember anything he did right now. I mean, his story in the bathroom. Yeah.
Yeah. See, he's allowed to say poop.
He is, yeah.
Finn's not allowed. He can say it and not make me want to throw up.
Yeah.
I still think he was a ringer on the Glee Project. I'm all out on this. Just based on the fact that of all the new kids, he really is the only one who I think can act.
Yeah,
and who like has a good presence. And I like him. I like him as a performer. I like him as an actor. I could take him with the older cast and be fine. But all these kids are just killing me.
Yeah, they're awful.
Yeah, so...
Can we move on?
I was going to say, any more to say about that, or let's just move on.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go. Next age would be Wade. So Wade's parents are contacted about the fact that he's playing Rizzo. And, you know, there's a meeting in the principal's office with his parents and Sue and Finn. I actually was okay with how this story was handled. They did not make his parents... bigots or unsupportive. His parents were just
they supported him.
Yeah, they supported him and said, like, you know, we've always known he's gay, we've always known he's different, and we're fine with that, but this is a small town in Ohio, and we just, you know, we don't want him getting hurt, so we don't want him putting himself out so publicly right now. And I was okay with that.
Yeah, I guess this is the only Wade storyline that has made sense to me right now, I mm-hmm. guess. Even though I don't know how, I mean, I don't know. It's just because they're parents and they care, but you have to say, well, like, how supportive are they really being if they're really not letting him be himself in mm-hmm. public? It's only in private.
Yeah, and as I'm saying this, I'm realizing Glee has kind of done this before with Bert telling Kurt not to dress so colorfully to the prom. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's the line between having another Bert Hummel of another set of parents who are just 100% in support of their child, or versus having another, you know, Mrs. Frey, who are 100% not in support of their children. I thought, okay, this is a balance of, you know, from this one scene of these two people, I get that they do support their son, but that they are in their own way, they think they're looking out for him. And I think that, you know, there's probably some parents out there who might even look at it and be like, yeah, I would say that for my kid, because I wouldn't want my kid going to school in high heels if he was getting beaten up for doing so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that surprisingly worked for me.
Okay.
All right. So within that, this leads to them offering the part to Santana.
Yeah, which is just bizarre.
Yeah, they're like, why is so Santana? Why are you in town? Oh, don't ask her that. Oh, okay. I guess you don't want to answer it, Glee writers, because you don't have one. So she has a scene with Brittany that's like, well, I'm not seeing anyone. I'm not seeing anyone either. Twinkle, twinkle in your eyes. And that's it. I don't know. We'll see.
The whole thing with Santana was just bizarre. I didn't understand where it was coming from or where it was going or anything. It was just weird.
Like, it was nice to have her back to sing just because I liked how they handled that song. But whereas last week Santana was Miss College and was, you know, you got the feeling that she was ready to go date and she was ready. She was great and doing great in cheerleading and probably doing good in school. So just to have the scene of her like, I'm back home and it's so nice to be back home and I do kind of still care about Brittany and I don't know. It was just kind of, all right, Glee, do you want to decide what you're doing with this character?
Yeah. It's like people who haven't spoken to each other writing the episodes.
Yeah. Which, speaking of, Tina and Mike. Okay, so at the season premiere of this season, we had Tina telling Jacob Jewish that she broke up with Mike, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now in this scene, we have Tina saying, "I'm still mad you came back. I wasn't ready for you to come back. You really tested who I am on my own, and I like who I am, but I do miss you. Let's talk about it." So there were 9 different actions going on in that 2 lines of dialogue that Jen Oshkowitz got.
Yeah.
And none of it made sense.
No, none of it made any sense.
It didn't make sense in context with Tina being the one who broke up with Mike. It didn't make sense with Tina saying, "You're making things difficult for me by you being here," because that didn't make sense because Tina's the one who apparently broke his heart. But no, it seems like Mike broke her heart. And Tina saying, "I like being, you know, I'm proud of myself for being on my own," which obviously, again, we haven't seen any of that this season because they don't want to ever give attention to Tina. I'm happy on my own, but I do miss you. So let's talk about it. It's...
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. There's no sense in trying to figure it out because it doesn't make sense.
Okay, just glad I wasn't the only one thinking that. So then we've got, Will goes away. That's fine.
Although he's at the school play.
He is, but then he's leaving at the end of it. Right?
Oh, okay. I don't remember.
Just, the very last scene was him saying, like,
"Oh, he tells them. Right.
He tells them at the very beginning that he'll be here for another week. And then by the end of the week, I guess he goes.
All right.
So then we've got, I guess, let's go into Rachel. Well, Kurt and Blaine, nothing much really happens except... They see each other, and Kurt basically just says, "Still, I'm not ready to talk to you. I still feel betrayed. I can never trust you again."
Right.
Now, Rachel, after getting excited to go on an audition for a big-name director for an off-Broadway show, Kate Hudson decides to sabotage her, kind of... She sends her off to Ohio, maybe seduces Brody. It's not 100% confirmed, but I don't know. I never had glasses of wine and took a shower while my professor lounged on my bed. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no.
We did go to the same school, but...
Unless it was one of the priests, I mean.
Hey, some of them were good looking. So that happened, and it was basically just for Kate Hudson to be a bitch character and call Rachel and... chew her out for daring to, you know, try things. Right?
Yeah. I didn't understand that. She was like...
It was, I guess, just the whole Kate Hudson is, you know, it's just so stupid to really believe that this, you know, what, 35-year-old woman is jealous of this 18-year-old starlet, so she decides to sleep with her crush. Like, do people do that? I don't know.
I don't think they do. It was just weird.
I don't think human beings do anything that human beings on Glee do. But so that happens.
And, like, why did Brody go through with it? Like, his reasoning? None of it makes any sense.
But the problem is we're going to have to find out.
Yeah.
But the thing that – the good that came out of this for me – I don't know how you feel about this. I actually really like the scene with Rachel and Finn. Their kind of denouement scene where they – stand and talk as a couple who's broken up, and there's that weird emptiness you kind of have. I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, and I'm glad he sees that she's moving on, because now maybe he could move on and stop saying, "I lost my girl, I lost my job, I lost..."
The thing was, we didn't have that at all this episode. We had been working, essentially, and seeming to get enthusiastic about it. And that was fine, because I'm okay with that kind of Finn. I'm okay with Finn just being back to season one Finn, of the kind of dumb but good-hearted guy who's just kind of there. That can work for me. And the conversation with Rachel, I thought, was both well-written and well-delivered, of that if, you know, you've that wall that now exists between somebody who you used to never have a wall. You used to tell this person everything, and now you don't really know what to say to them. And there's... Yeah, you're kind of sad that you don't love them anymore, I guess. I don't know. I thought that was surprisingly well done and kind of my high point of the episode.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, where things started coming together for me, for being like, all right, this episode wasn't a total wash, but.
There was exactly one thing that worked for me this episode, and we're not up to it yet, so.
Okay. So why don't we get to the songs?
Okay.
All right. So we start with.
Greased Lightning.
We do.
Done by The Boys. basically.
And Blaine. I wish Blaine was in there.
Yeah, yeah, without Blaine. But well, with the McKinley. Well, oh, he's the McKinley boy. Yeah, so the McKinley boy is sans Blaine, yes. It was the original staging. It was fine. It was a little awkward because they had to change a lot of lyrics.
You know, I didn't even listen to the, because people kept complaining about it, and maybe I just wasn't paying attention both times I watched it, because I didn't catch them. But then I realized, too, because at first with this one, I was like, oh, it's really cute. And I didn't think, oh, it's the original staging, because I have not seen Grease that many times, and I certainly haven't seen it in quite a few years. Well, so that didn't stick out to me as much.
I mean, it's the movie staging. It's not, like...
which essentially all the songs were.
Yeah.
And that, once I realized that's what they were doing, I did get annoyed.
Yeah, because they're not doing anything
right,
new with it.
Exactly.
And they're not even pulling proper source material. Which, did Lisa say that last week, or is that in this week's email?
I think it was
last week's email. That
I know it was in the Facebook group, too. Just the whole, you're going to do the movie, or you're doing the play?
Right.
Which I'll get to, because I have a huge irk about that. That'll get to in one of the songs in a little bit. But yeah, so Grease Lightning, it was, you know... It was fine, except it was fine for me until I realized, oh, they didn't do anything original in this whatsoever.
Right. Well, they didn't do anything original with anything, so.
No. All right, so moving on.
Especially not with Look at Me, Sandra Dee.
Yeah, exactly. And even like Troy Donahue, you couldn't, you know.
You couldn't update that.
Justin Bieber. I don't know, you could have done something.
Yeah, it was awful. And it was just... that much more awful because the girls who are supposed to be Marley's friends are going along with it.
Right.
They're listening to Kitty make fun of her and singing backup, which
in truth, if you were Marley's friend.
But Wade, like, I could believe that Tina Sugar and Brittany might just be like, oh, ha ha ha, we're singing. Sure. But wait for Wade to be like singing, like, come on. And to not be trying to like, chase her, at least like comically chase her around the room and try and stop her.
Yeah, which would have made much more sense, except then it would have broken the original staging, and then why bother?
Yeah, God forbid we do something different.
Yeah. Which to me, the worst case of it was in the next song, Beauty School Dropout, and here's why. Okay, so you have Darren Criss in a sparkle sweater, which is amazing and wonderful, and you have Sugar Mata as Frenchie, which we said was perfect, except the fact that they stage this not the way you would stage it in the show. They staged it the way you would stage it the movie. And how do you know this? Oh, gee, if I was in the audience, do you realize this entire song, all I saw was the back of Frenchie's head?
Yeah, it was awful.
Because they have Frenchie facing the teen angel, which anybody who knows anything about theater knows. You're like, if a character is looking upstage, nobody in the audience can see them. And it took nothing of that into account of... present, because even though they're clearly not making this a fantasy, this, it wasn't like Grease Lightning was a fantasy song. This is the production, and yet it makes no directorial sense whatsoever when you're watching it.
Yep, it was pretty terrible. Although
the only good thing,
Blaine did shine.
Blaine was wonderful. Yeah, I mean, Darren Criss, the look in his eyes when he saw Kurt.
Yep.
You know, his voice is perfect for it. It's fine. He's wearing a sparkly sweater, which I want. All that was great. It just was stupidly staged.
Agreed.
Uh-huh.
Perhaps the lowest note of the show for me, Look at Me, I'm Sandra Dee reprise sung by Marley Rose, which made zero sense to the scene.
It made zero sense because it's followed. It would have made sense if she sang this and then, you know, came out as Sandy at the end and just didn't have any more doubts about herself or anything. But no, she sang this. And then 15 minutes later, she comes out dressed like Sandy in the slut costume. And then, like, immediately Kitty says something to her and she's like, oh, my God. Yeah. Like, no. Like, you just sang a song that's supposed to be you're changing and taking a step forward. And you just took a step back again.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of it as, like, kind of a quick little bridge. Kind of like, okay, transition right now. Character change. Except they couldn't even hold on to that.
It was awful.
Yeah, and then, like, what, from now, like, it does nothing for the character because it doesn't make Marley, if this had happened and then the next scene she was confident, well, then going out from here on, I would believe that Marley might be a little different from here on in. But no, it's just the same thing. There is no development in her whatsoever.
Yep. And then we have There Are Worse Things I Can Do, which, like you said, is one of the better handled songs because they shared it.
And it wasn't the original movie. They split it up. They did things to it to make it make sense in context with this show.
Yep. So Santana, Cassandra July, and Wade all shared it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it does. There's worse things he could do than dress as a lady.
Because his line, because the way they split up the lyrics, it was a
it
little
did make
on the
sense.
Nose, but
yeah.
a perfect. It was because Unique's line was like I could blah 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 on a dream that won't come true, which is the whole thing of him wanting to, you know, be female, and right now that's not really a possibility for him. So it made sense. Abs' line, I just keep writing her name as Kate Hudson's Abs. Her line was all like, I could hurt somebody like me. Obviously, it's exactly what she's doing. And whereas Santana's lines were all pretty much about like, I could stay home and pretend not to be lonely and blah, 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 blah. So it was surprisingly like divided correctly in a way that made sense.
All right. I'll accept that.
Okay.
So here, the last song, You're the One That I Want, which was staged exactly like the film with the funhouse and the Shake Shack and blah, blah, blah.
Pretty decent budget for a show to be able to do that, too.
This number held my one shining moment of the episode, which oddly enough did involve Finn, but it's when Rachel comes out and starts singing in that costume. Because
all of a sudden, weren't you like, God damn it, I missed this?
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is why I liked Glee, because Lea Michele is a performer, and she sings well, and she's fun to watch, and even though she's sharing a song with Finn, she makes him better.
Yeah, exactly. And whereas Marley Rose,
Yeah, it was this one, like, glaring moment where I was like, oh, this is what we need. Like,
yeah, and I mean, that is what turned the episode around for me. Because then shortly after this, you have her scene with Finn where they kind of, you know. And it was like it was an episode that to me was like D-plus territory until the last 15 minutes when suddenly I was like, wow, those just turned everything around. They didn't redeem everything because they couldn't.
No.
But I really, I think this song was handled great.
Right, and even having Kurt and Blaine sing together during that was great.
Yeah, it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So high note, slow note.
That was my one high note was
was
Rachel in the costume singing, because I was like, this is what Glee was, this is what I miss, and I want this back.
I agree. I had a couple of high notes. They're very small things that were done here and there. Artie at the very beginning when Finn is like taking them to the garage to sing, he's like, grease is about getting grease in your nails and about friendship. And Artie's just like, yeah, that's the theme. His delivery was so great because it was like just Artie, Kevin McHale being really good and underrated and underused rather.
Mm-hmm.
Britney's Kleenex Tastes Like Clouds just was like a minor. Okay. That was like an old Britneyism, I thought.
Yeah.
Kitty points out Marley's signature Newsies cap.
Yes, that's true.
That did make me happy. I loved that when they tell like Santana's like, yeah, I'll do the part. And then Tina walks in like, guys, I'm so ready to do it. Are you kidding me? Because it was because I thought the same exact thing. I'm like, okay, well, you know, they have Tina. But nobody thinks that. I guess Finn had the line to Rachel, no contact, even in song, which I thought was cute. Artie wore a beret when reading the review.
Ah, he did.
I like that it must have been so hard for them not to do it, but think about it. They did not sing Summer Nights because they had already done it, because they did it with Amber Riley and Sam back last season.
True.
And so that actually made me really happy that it must have killed them not to be able to do it again.
Although if you think about it, that staging was the movie staging also.
Oh, of course it was. Yeah. No. Believe me, sister. I know. And then my other high note was, when Rachel was telling Finn, like, oh, no, I think the show was great. I mean, I had a couple of notes, but they were small. Because it was Rachel. It was old Rachel. Yeah. And I liked hearing about low notes.
Oh, just the episode. is that too general?
No, everything about the youngins for me. And
it's just bad. But okay, not the Kurt and Blaine stuff, but even the New York stuff.
Yeah.
In general was bad. Like the Kate Hudson and what's his McName, like that, it was bad.
The story was stupid,
It was just dumb. There's so many other things we could be doing with New York right now, and instead we're having Rachel's professor sleep with her not boyfriend. Like,
that happens.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Man, I remember how many not boyfriends I lost because my professors were seducing them.
Terrible.
Whew. It was a rough freshman year. And my other low note was we didn't even talk about Sue in this episode because I'd rather not because it's awful. It's Sue being, out to get the Glee Club and Finn, or she just is looking out for Wade. They can't decide. But the worst thing was like when Sue goes on her tirade again, you know, she storms out of Finn's office and starts like pushing Cades, which was funny when we saw it in season one. And was funny when they used that music in season one. And 3.5 years later, it's not funny when you're not bringing anything new to it whatsoever.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yes, that annoyed me. A not good episode. An episode that I think did have some little things going for it. Cool Rider promising. But I just want them to stop this season and restart it just with certain characters, different storylines.
Yep.
Just like send certain characters to like Hawaii and do the show there. Be like, hey, Rachel and Kurt and Blaine and Cool Rider and Mike Chang, you guys all wanted vacation to Hawaii, and just make that the show. Let's do it.
It'll be like when the Bradys went to Hawaii.
Exactly. Oh, apparently Mad Men's going to Hawaii this season.
Oh, fancy.
In there and I'm excited. Maybe Michael Uppendahl will direct one of those episodes. It'll be better than this one.
Perhaps.
Okay. So, feedback. Alrighty, we got a couple.
We do. We have a new writer, too.
Which is always exciting. Where do you want to start? Who do you want to start with?
Run in order. I'll start with Brianne.
Okay.
Brianne writes, hello again. My feedback this week will be short because I just didn't take many notes in regard to this week's episode. Plus, I'm on a Twilight high, so my brain isn't absorbing much else at the moment. I was glad this week that they brought back all the couples, minus Wemma, to give us more closure to the breakups and to see how everyone is dealing with the aftermath. I enjoyed it because it was somewhat true to life. Santana and Brittany are the couple that are still cool with each other but aren't getting back together. Mike and Tina seem from their brief but appreciated, thank you, Glee, scene that they may be the ones that will get back together.
Or not. Who knows? Who cares? Whatever.
We don't know. We're not sure. Finn and Rachel are so completely done, and of all the couples, I'm most excited about that development. However, I am so mad about Cassandra hooking up with Brody. I saw that coming from a mile away, but what made me angry was that Cassandra answered Brody's phone and admitted to hooking up with a student. Obviously, this is set up to get her off the show.
I don't think so at all.
Unless Glee is going to continue with their non-knowledge of the education world that you cannot date a student and will get fired for it. Last but not least, Clayne is still just hurt. There was no resolution, which gives all of us Clayne fans hope. Nothing was final like Finchel, but Kurt is still upset and rightfully so.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to... I mean, we've already seen Cassandra July drunk on her ass teaching.
I don't
think that's an issue in this art school.
Niata has very loose... terms for their teachers. Brianne continues, as I mentioned in my last feedback, I love Grease, so I enjoyed all the music this week. I think the most effective song was Sandra G reprise. Why is everything I'm super critical of? Like, Brianne and I are essentially
Brianne, you are on like opposite days.
I know. We're like essentially the same person when it comes to most things, so it's so weird to me that
with Glee.
That everything that I despise about these episodes, she's like, I love this part. It's just weird.
It's fascinating to me.
It is. It really is. I think the most effective song was Sandra G reprise. It totally fit the situation. I was sad that Unique didn't get to play Rizzo and was real mad that Santana came back and learned that part in a day. First of all, there's no one else in McKinley High to play that part.
Tina?
Yeah, there are no understudies. Santana's good, but she learned all of her lines, songs, and directions in that day. So unbelievable, so ridiculous. I thought the scenes were done well. However, Blake, writer for those non-Glee Project viewers, needs help with his dancing. Grease Lightning was slightly painful. I also didn't care for the changed lyrics, but I know they had to do it for TV. I also enjoyed Blaine getting distracted in Beauty School Dropout when he saw Kurt in the audience. I also liked how they incorporated all of the broken up couples in You're the One That I Want. Obviously, fantasy scenes, I enjoyed it.
Like, when they air Grease on TBS, do they change those lines?
I don't think so. I think they changed it because it's, like, primetime network.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they changed it. Glee has done so much worse things. It's just bizarre.
Well, I posted all the lines they changed. You read them, right?
A little bit, yeah.
I mean,
they're so suggestive.
The chicks will the chicks will cream. I mean, that's a little, and that's not like a huge change. Because when I was younger, I thought the lyrics were the chicks will scream because I didn't know what it meant for a chick to cream. Like, I didn't understand that. So I just thought it was scream. Like, that didn't bother me. Obviously, you can't say pussy wagon on TV. That did have to change. And they can't say shit. So, like, they were all legitimate things.
Okay.
But it's ridiculous that they, and they can't, they probably can say tit, but I think they probably wouldn't want to. Mm-hmm. But that forced that line change anyway, because shit and tit are the rhyme, so they changed it.
I guess also if they are releasing it on, iTunes, it might affect that too.
Target or Walmart.
Because then it's like explicit, quote unquote.
Walmart might not carry it, God forbid.
Yeah. Oh my God, no.
Yeah. But I think they chose an awful rhyme for that one. They changed it to crap. And that is the rhyme, which is just not really a rhyme. Anyway, Brianne continues. My two favorite parts were when Kitty made a comment about Unique not being able to tuck it for the sleepover. I also liked Ryder's story about his wrestler cousin that crapped himself. Other than that, the show was okay. I give it a C+. Until next week, Brianne.
Well, I mean, I'll, that's how you deliver a poop story.
It is. He did know how to deliver a poop story.
Mm-hmm. All right. Should I read... Did you want to read Lisa's or do I read Lisa's?
I'll read Lisa's.
All right. So I will read John's.
Okay.
I'll read the new feedback. That's always exciting. All right. So let me just make sure he gives it. Yeah. Okay. So this is from John. No H in his name. John writes, Dear Emily and Erica, or Erica and Emily, or Erica and Emily. I'm over this already. After listening to a mini marathon of Gleecast and finally deciding to give this season of Glee a chance, I figured I should write in. The subject of his email was longtime listener, first time writer-inner. As I don't have a TV and refuse to lay down money on Hulu, I'm a week behind on watching Glee. So this and possible future commentary may be a little behind. Also, in the past few weeks, I've collected so many mental notes and thoughts on the series that I'm going to have to make a Sophie's choice since she was only a few points to write on. She was writing into a podcast too, right? It's been years since I saw it and it was on TBS, so I don't know how much was all. That's exactly what Sophie's choice was about.
Yeah.
Yep. I have to admit that while I gave up on the series about midway through last season, I apparently missed some big things, attempted suicide, temporary paralysis, lesbian pregnancy, what the fuck is a cooter? I've been charmed back into the show this season. It's not anywhere near the grandeur of the first half of the first season, but at the very least, the writers and actors, for the most part, are sure enough in their characters that have been there from close to the beginning, that, like it or not, I'm invested in where these characters are going next.
Are you there?
Left breathless in the breakup at the end of Don't Speak, a song that took... Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm here.
Hang on.
I can hear you. Oh, wait. Now I'm echoing.
Wait. We're catching up.
What's going on?
That was bizarre. I don't know how it's going to sound on the recording, but it was really weird. Because it was just like a pause, and you could clearly hear me, and were answering me, but I heard all that once I could hear you again.
Weird. See, I am plugged in directly to my internet because my router keeps flaking off and it's really annoying. And fucking Time Warner gives you a modem with one port.
Oh.
So even my Blu-ray player, which has Netflix, has to be hooked into my wireless and not my router or whatever you call it, modem thing. I don't know. Technology... Well, fuck you, technology. Why are you so...
All right, the thing that Time Warner gave you is the modem. You're supposed to connect that to the wireless router.
Exactly. Except when I do that, my internet's really slow. So right now I'm connected directly into my modem. Because otherwise it would be very difficult for you to talk to me.
Okay.
I think the answer is I need a new router.
Yeah, maybe a new wireless router.
Yes.
Because how old is the one that you have?
It would be 3.5 years old.
Okay, so it might be time to upgrade that.
Maybe it is.
I just upgraded mine, and we seem to be doing better than we were prior to my upgrade.
That is good to know. I may ask you for advice on which one to get.
Okay.
Okay.
So you can pick up from I Was Left Breathless.
Okay. Let me find where I am. I Was Left Breathless in the breakup at the end of Don't Speak, a song that took me back to my own middle school, high school angst. Even knowing that what was coming and the role you were born to play, was surprisingly excited to see I Just Want to Dance, Mike, and seriously, I'm still in the opening credits, Mercedes. I like those taglines for those characters. These characters I've come to know and begrudgingly love, like it or not, and that's what makes a good chunk of the role you were born to play so meh. Maybe it's unfair that there's a high bar to match when you're introducing a whole new batch of characters in the same breath with still featuring old school regulars and expect us to be equally, if not more so, invested in these new cadets. But what do we have as our options? Hat girl, cheerleading harpy, vaguely ethnic, not really that bad boy, and a dense football player with moves out of the mid-90s who I'm convinced has a scat fetish that, knowing Ryan Murphy, is going to come into play in February sweeps. Between this and what I've heard on the next episode of Glee, he's 2 for 2 in the poop jokes. Well, in fairness, Finn made the first poop joke, but as soon as he said that, Ryder was like, oh yeah, totally, I get that. That would be great if he only ends up being the poop joke. John continues, and that's really about as far as these characters go. At least Artie had imaginary dance moves behind that wheelchair. Santana had her Lima Heights adjacent upbringing. Brittany had a cat. They were all more than surface appearances. And the ones who weren't, well, remember that one random black kid from season 1? What's his name? Sean, Shane, McScat, Cat? Yeah, neither do I.
Tyler his Durden.
Name, his name was Tyler Durden. What's his name? Matt Rutherford. His name was Matt Rutherford.
No. Shane is... aren't we talking... from season 1, he is talking about Matt.
He's talking about Matt Rutherford, but has morphed him into Shane McTyler Durden.
Yes, who was Mercedes' not-so-boyfriend.
Right, and who ate Matt Rutherford in my fan fiction idea.
He did.
Yes. John continues, but at least there were some gems. As much as I'd rather the show just focus on Rachel and Kurt. It was nice to see them this episode. After the breakup, a little break is almost necessary. Oh, it was nice not to see them. And the result was a killer, not at all pared down, rendition of Hopelessly Devoted to You from Blaine. His singing has never been in question, although his earnest singing face is worthy to Leah Michelle's sourpuss singing face. But Darren Criss is turning out to be a pretty fantastic actor. His rambling mini-breakdown post-audition was sincere, not over the top, and just the right amount of silly. Also, props for the Gilmore Girls shout-out. The Will Emma scenes were actually a little interesting, mostly because it was nice to see Emma stand her ground. And any excuse to have Beast on screen is fine by me. Agreed on that point. And the Figgins office scenes, Figgins shockingly, yet not at all out of character, inappropriate description of unique notwithstanding, was enjoyable, if only to see Sue direct her anger at someone other than saintly Perv Shu. And Finn's outbursts? Immediately retracted and really not entirely out of character. Let's not forget his fag outburst in season 1. And Patty Simcox? Who the hell is Patty Simcox? I'll just leave it at that. But for every high note, there are exquisitely unpleasant low notes. Brittany as Cha-Cha makes sense, but not if we're going to get to see her dance the fucking hand jive. Excellent point. I'll be honest that Unique is kind of growing on me, but that cover of Blow Me with Marley with altered keys did nothing to convince me that Marley is the next big thing. If you're going to sing a pink song, fucking sang a pink song. Don't stand there with your arms stretched out like a 12-year-old America's Got Talent contestant with a hat. Fun fact, the name Melissa Benoist looked familiar in the opening credits, and after a trusty IMDb search, I was horrified to realize why. I recently started watching Homeland, where Benoist appears as a topless student applying for a harem position. Harem? Really? I don't watch Homeland. My mom is a huge fan, and it always bugs me to watch it, but I don't have Showtime. Harem? I didn't know there still were harems since 1800. It's hard to take the poor girl with a heart of gold seriously when you've seen her topless and expressing her comfort with anal. Come on. As long as she's wearing a hat. My cat just started meowing at that. She's not happy either. You remember that when she's singing the Sandra Dee reprise? I will now.
Yeah, really.
Also, to address the question of Grease as a high school musical. My freshman year of high school, Grease was our annual musical, pregnancy plot and all intact, with a few key changes. The Chicksil Dream does not roll as trippingly off the tongue, but at least it gets past the school board. There are worse things a school board can do, as Glee has proven, for a high school musical. Enjoying it as always, and I'm sure there'll be future emails from me with better thought out analysis, trivia, and Meryl Streep references. Ciao. Thank you so much for writing it,
yes,
John.
Thank
Your
you.
Email was delightful.
It was.
It was. Very funny, and I think I probably agree with you on most of the points in there.
Yep.
And now I'm only going to ever think of Marley Rose naked in a harem doing anal.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I will read Lisa's email.
Okay.
Which is titled, Isn't It the Most, to Say the Least, the Very Least. She writes, Hello, Pink Ladies. So I know I ranted quite a bit last week, and I obviously have a lot of the same rant this week. However, I realized that I would have not had the same rant if this episode had happened in season 1. All this movie versus stage show stuff would have been forgiven if I cared even just a little about the characters singing songs from my show. But I don't. So I'm bored and annoyed. Let's move on to some bullet points. I love Rachel, but she scores an audition for an off-Broadway play starring Peter Dinklage? I don't think so.
Good point.
It is a good point. Greased Lightning. You know that ain't no crap. We'll be getting lots of that. You know I ain't bragging. She's a real hottie wagon. This is why you don't do grease in high school, kids. Lyric changes sound ridiculous. If you can't say shit, tits, or pussy, the show is not for you. Look at me, I'm Sandra Dee. This is a case where the direct homage to the movie would work. Set, costumes, movie lyrics, as it's not part of their stage show. However, with this group singing it, it just doesn't work. Swear omission number 4. Fangool? Really? We can't even swear in Italian? I did notice that too. I forgot about that.
I didn't realize.
Santa, yeah, she says, hey, Fangool.
Goo, that's right.
Sandra Dee. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Yep, I love that song. I used to say that as a child because I didn't know what it meant. Santana as Rizzo. I'm sorry, she's graduated. This is a high school production. Again, if you wanted to do this episode correctly, it should have been season 1. That being said, very happy that she did The Worst Things I Could Do, my favorite song from the show. Teen Angel. Yep, called it last week, movie version, as is the rest of their show. Yawn.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Marley puking after Teen Angel? The show's already half over at that point. What will that help?
I don't think she understands how the human body works. I think that's why.
Yeah. You're the One That I Want. What exactly is the budget for this musical? Where is all the money for sets and costume coming from? I'm so bored with this. Oh my God, is that Rachel? Glee, seriously, why didn't you do this season 1? It would have been so amazing. So, in summary, Ohio is boring. Don't do Grease in high school. If you do Grease, do the stage version that you bought the rights for, not the movie. Lea Michele does a great naughty Sandy. Despite this underwhelming episode, Grease is still the word. Lisa. P.S. John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John just released a new Christmas album. It is magical. Buy it. Lisa is a very big John Travolta fan. Like, yes. The biggest.
I am not the biggest John Travolta fan. However, when he's on, and especially when he was younger, when he was on, he was on. And in Grease, yeah. Grease is his movie.
Yeah, completely. He's a great Grease.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, we've got 2 left.
Do you want to just do them both? Do you want to share one?
Why don't I start Beth's? As long as everything sounds fine on my end, I can just do them both.
Okay.
All right. So Beth writes, Dear Emily and Erica, I have often been accused of reading or watching something for its entertainment value only. I mean, who else do you know who has read Dickens for the wit and humor and missed the whole social commentary aspect of it? Well, that would be me. As I segue into this week's Glee episode titled Grease, which I did think was a cute portmanteau of Grease and Glee, I'll admit, I enjoyed it for its humor and silliness and totally glossed over any social messages. A great example, Kitty's taking in dumb little Marley's skirt every night. My first thought, who knew Kitty could sew? If the writers were trying to save me from a possible eating disorder, I blanked it out for flashbacks to an old Carol Burnett, Walter Matthau movie called Pete and Tilly, where Matthau was filling up a neighbor's gas tank every night, so he thought he was getting great gas mileage, and then Matthau started siphoning off the gas, so the neighbor went crazy trying to figure out what was wrong with his car. Kitty was doing the same thing with Marley's skirt by making it smaller, and she was successfully driving Marley crazy. I mean, how could Marley be so stupid? Didn't her regular clothes still fit, or does she wear elastic waist pants and skirts? Guess I'll have to start paying more attention to her clothes. Maybe, like, she gets, like, hand-me-down maternity clothes. I don't know.
Possibly.
Exactly. Have you ever tried on maternity clothes by accident, by the way?
I've never actually physically tried them on, but I do wander into the maternity section at Target all the time, uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, this is really cute, and then I look up at the sign and I'm like, fuck, yeah. It's maternity.
Yeah,
motherfucker, they have cute clothes now.
I know. And
really frustrating,
like, they're so comfortable, because that would happen to me a lot, like at certain old navies that have maternity sections, and they'll have like clearance and it's just mixed in there, mm-hmm. And you're going through it and you're like, and you pick out, you know, your size, and you don't think to check the label, and you try it on, and you're like, this is so comfortable. Oh my God. Oh, it's for women who have 8-pound babies in their bellies. It's awful. But it, like, somebody, a designer should catch on to that and make maternity style comfort for non-pregnant women.
They should. Maybe we should.
Yes.
TM. We trademarked it.
We got it.
It's ours.
We need to think of a catchy name for it, though.
Don't take it.
I like where this possibility is going.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, we'll put it on Etsy. I bet we'll be a hit.
We will.
Okay. Beth continues. When Marley was trying to throw up in the toilet, I flash back to Rachel in season 1 in the toilet with a small bit of vomit on the floor, with Emma coming in and ensuring her not have a gag reflex could be a good thing someday. God, remember when, like, Lee could do that? Did anybody else catch Brittany's little question about Adele being dead? See, I thought that was so meta. After all, look what happened to Amy, Whitney, Andy, and one of the Bee Gees. Have I missed anybody? Just saying. So Shit was leaving and bringing Finn in as his replacement. Tina, I love you. She knows Finn better than anyone else could imagine. She knows Finn can't complete a thought without mega support from the adults around him. Sue knows it too, and she also knows that Finn has a certain meanness, a hate in his heart, and I have to agree. Finn talks before he thinks, and if the show had an R rating, we would certainly have heard a lot more racial slurs and derogatory gender remarks. I think that makes Finn an interesting but stifled character, as we can never really get to know who he is in depth. I can picture Finn as less than a hero, but more of a neo-Nazi type, who, although not too bright, can sway others to think like him and follow Finn's master plan. It's a dark side of looking at it, but I think Finn is impressionable, if you will.
Yes.
And I really enjoyed Sue's dressing down of Will and Finn. When she ran out into the hallway and attacked the students with Oh Fortuna playing from Carmina Burana, I found myself yelling, not the children, Sue, not the children, in my best Figgins voice. Why was that hilarious in season one and not now? I don't know. I still think it is in character for Sue. I don't know if she has regressed as a character. I think it's funny. I just think it was funny because it happened once and now it's not funny because it's the same joke over and over again, my opinion. Just some thoughts. New York. I am liking Cassandra July. She has a lively evilness to her.
Lovely.
Kitty has...
She has a lovely evilness to her.
Fuck you. Sorry. Kitty has some great lines. Of all the newbies, I am enjoying her the most. I know I'm not supposed to, but she is getting some good lines, and I like her character's potential. She humors me. Marley's mama has to win an award for the nicest, most clueless mom on the planet. A strict diet? Really? Okay, why do I find Kurtz checking out Cassandra's abs and then bending into the bar to look at her some more particularly funny? And Cassandra's Bloody Mary field panic attack in the sky? Why do I get the feeling I shared a flight with her in the past? And yes, I really wanted to ask, so what happens next, Cassandra? Oh, Glee, don't tease me like that. Over to Kitty, talking about her trophy for most tongue spoken at Bible camp, as well as her horseback riding incident while on her horse, Jojo. I would kill for a trophy like that in my house, except mine would have a multiple tongues on it. Talk about your conversation starter. Also, I would have loved a flashback to Kitty shooting poor Jojo the horse in the head for his crime taking Kitty's purity. I am always putting a gun in Kitty's capable hands. I just know she could shoot well. It's now part of my headcanon. Kitty wants to have ghost stories and prayer circles during her sleepover. Anyone else have visions of Bloody Mary in the bathroom and light as a feather, stiff as a board, party and levitation games? I could see them levitating Marley and then dropping her with Kitty loudly proclaiming, oh dear, my slim petite little fingers couldn't hold up your portly weight-gaining morphing body size anymore. Mm-hmm. Switching gears, I like Wade's parents. First of all, there are two of them. And that is rare in Glee. And second, they are trying to protect their little boy. What's not to like? They accept Wade for Wade. Moving on, Tina gets shafted again. The actress Jenna must love this. I know I would. To get a nice paycheck and not have to work my butt off. Yeah, works for me. Kurt and Rachel and Finn and Blaine. Wow, I love the dynamics, the awkwardness of it all, the floor staring, the averted eyes, longing, loathing, loving, and hating, all rolled up into one messy ball of emotion. I live for these little moments in Glee. Beauty school dropout? Okay, I love Blaine. I loved his little moment when he almost lost it. I'm doomed. Song went straight to my favorite's iPod playlist. Ryder's story in the bathroom with Marley about a second cousin and laxatives, that cracked me up. I like Ryder for a Glee Project winner. He is certainly fitting in well. I agree. Nice little Britannia moment. Santana, Cassandra, Wade, there are worse things I could do. Flashback to another Santana song I loved last season, Constant Craving, with Shelby and Kurt. Glee loves its parallelisms. Another song right to the iPod playlist. I really enjoyed it. Tyke might get back together? Good, I need some closure on it. This time, Glee provided the flashback for me during You're the One That I Want. Nice touch. Rachel calls Brody and gets Cassandra instead. Okay, I loved this. Cat claws are coming out. Cassandra might fight her way or herself wake up. Cassandra might find herself waking up dead, and I know Rachel can ugly cry with the jury and get an acquittal. Rubbing hands together, let the bloodletting begin. Rachel, don't explain yourself to your self-righteous defender of poor, helpless women everywhere, Finn. But I have to admit, like different types of drunks, Finn has Rachel's different types of crying down pat. However, that seemed to go on forever. Then 34 seconds of Klain. I like that she timed it. I love these two. I'm glad they spoke, and I'm glad they didn't drag it out like Finchel. Short and emotionally angsty, sweet without going over the top. Unlike Finchel. Have I brought up how long the Finchel moment felt? Was it just me, or could it have been just as effective if it had been short like Britannia, Klain, or Tyke's little moment? I guess we're on different pages on that, Beth. I know there was a closing moment with Will and Finn, but I blanked it out. I am so done with Will. I doubt I will miss him too much, and yet, maybe I will. Finn might be the worst thing that ever happens to New Directions, and I might be glad to see Will come back. Who knows? Until next episode, Beth.
Thank you, Beth.
Can I say, I would be happy if Will just didn't come back.
But, like, I mean, I had that thought, but can they feasibly do that? Like, we're really just going to let Finn run the Glee Club from now on?
Yeah, he'll go get, like, his license from, like, an after a night class taught by what's his name? La Vida Loca. That'll be great.
Ricky Martin.
Yeah. Sure. Why not?
I don't know.
Or just bring back John Stamos. He can do so.
A dentist right. class.
Yes. Why not? Why not? I ask indeed. Because they still never sang Dentist, and they had the perfect opportunity to.
True.
And I'll never forgive them for it, just like I will never forgive them if they don't sing Cool Rider. All right, our last bit of feedback comes from the one and only Wayne Kotke, who titles his email, Gleece is not a word, not a word that I've heard. Milk and Pepsi. What did I ever see in this show? How could I ever have been so taken in by Glee? The series is a fraud, a sham, a travesty, and a dull one at that. The episode moronically titled Gleece epitomizes everything that is fundamentally wrong with Glee in its fourth season. It is preachy, contrived, achingly predictable, obvious, derivative, and stupid, and punishingly, mercilessly stupid. The dialogue is overwritten to the point of being cartoonish, pocketmarked with pseudo-clever writer's room-style jokes and embarrassing phony speeches which lacks any sense of emotional honesty. The characters now have changes of heart motivated solely by the plot and are often reduced to convenient stereotypes. Who are these people? Whoever the writers need them to be that week. The plot developments on this show are like these giant balloons in Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. We can see them coming from blocks away, but we're still expected to be amazed when they arrive. There are fun moments, sure, but the fun is in quotation marks and seems to have been purchased secondhand from someone else. The show seems to have run out of good ideas on its own and seems perversely intent on pursuing some truly lousy ones instead. I knew right away, for instance, that Kitty was a poorly conceived character or caricature, but I never imagined the devastating impact she would have on the overall tone and direction of the series. Shall I go on? The show's only hope is to abandon pretty much all of its existing storylines and concentrate on the few remaining decent, even halfway plausible characters it has left. Take Artie, for instance. Right before the totally unnecessary shot-for-shot replication or regurgitation of Grease Lightning, there is a moment when Artie displays a moment of healthy skepticism at one of Finn's inspiring speeches. It's one of the few flickers of life and intelligence in this otherwise brain-dead episode, and it only lasts a few precious seconds. I caught that too, Wayne, and I really liked it. Mm-hmm. The stage musical of Grease presented a campy, ironic parody of the teenage life in the 1950s. The movie presented us a further abstraction or stylization of that world, one more degree removed from reality. And now, decades later, Glee is faithfully recreating the movie simply because it can. It's a copy of a copy of a copy. What's the point of any of this? I don't think there is one, other than tricking people into thinking they've been entertained simply by telling them things they already know. Side note. Mark Christopher Lawrence, the actor playing Unique's father, was in one of my favorite comedies from the 1990s, Fear of a Black Cat. I realize that this has very little bearing on your discussion of me, but I have to find something to latch on to when I watch the show now. That was what I chose this week. I guess I could start counting the number of product plugs artfully woven into the dialogue, but that could get kind of wearying after a while. Come on, Glee, make me believe in you again. Well, Wayne, who ends his email there.
Yep. Didn't even sign it. I don't think he usually does that.
It's still at d2writes.blogspot.com for more Wayneisms. I will say, if Wayne would like to take up the mantle, because Erica's been slacking on it, you can be on Hat Watch. Count the number of hats that appear in each episode.
I do. I suck at Hat Watch.
We had at least two. We had Artie in a beret, and we had, I don't even know if Marley ever wore one, but we had, you know, notes.
The reference to it. Yeah.
So if you need to latch on to something, you can latch on to that.
I like this new angry Wayne.
I do too. Although, spoiler alert, I just know this from our Facebook page. I think he liked the next episode that we haven't watched yet.
Yeah.
So we may get not angry Wayne next time. I don't know.
I'm sure there'll still be some of that biting criticism I've come to love in these past 2 weeks.
It's gotta be. Otherwise, I will start to worry.
So that's Gleece.
So that was Gleece. Thumbs down with a minor, thumb trying to raise up for the last 15 minutes or so on my end. Anyway, I like them. But we'll get to the stupidly aired Thanksgiving episode sometime later this week.
Yeah.
Please forgive us. I'm imagining you and I are going to be, might end up falling a week behind or so just because.
Possibly.
And the next 6 weeks I think are new.
Okay.
When I looked at the IMDb scheduling, I think it's straight new episodes until like December 13th or so. And it's like, it's Christmas time now, so there is shopping and party planning involved, and it gets very complicated.
It does.
Yeah.
We'll make it work, though.
We will. If you want to chat up with us, you may do so.
Over on our Facebook page, just search for GleeCast with a K. You found the iPod. You found the podcast, so you know how to spell GleeCast, so you can find the Facebook group.
Yep, it's exactly.
And if you want to chat with us via email, it is GleeCast@gmail.com.
Indeed. And on that note, happy
Sunday.
Happy Sunday. I really feel like every day this week has a name except for Sunday. And I don't know what to give it. Happy Gleecast Sunday.
It is Packers v. Giants football day.
Sure. Okay, we'll go with that.
It's a throwdown in the imaginary Kelly Howland household.
Who should I root for you?
The Packers. I'm a Packers fan.
Go Packers.
Fan.
Okay. Yay,
Mike
Packers.
Mike is a Giants fan.
I thought he was, but I didn't know if things changed because of your fantasy league.
Oh, no. I don't have any Packers on my team. Well, the one Packer I have on my team has been injured for like the past 2 months, so he hasn't been playing.
Okay.
So we just want them to beat the Giants. I don't have any Giants on my team either. So.
All right, go teams.
Woohoo.
All right.
All right. Bye, guys.